This is a Pinball News production.
Morning, everybody. I'm back in Halifax, Nova Scotia with Classic Playfields. They're the ones that are really ramping out the products. Kevin Waite does a bunch of the yard and the silk screening, that type of work for their operation. So he's in a full time, 7 days a week. I have a 6 day a week job with the city. So this is more of a hobby for me to prove that this process can be done. So before I start my seminar, this is an early test print for the Bonsai Run back glass. CPR ran the back glass because there was bootleg copies out there in the just the quality was really, really poor. So they gave me a file, gave me the back glass. I scraped all the artwork off, and when I took it to the printer, the file still wasn't good enough. I think it was like the bootleg copy or the early art. So what we did was just run a generic Harley-Davidson photo file. So this proves like all the colors that are here. So you can see the chrome is actually able to be done by the color span. There's no white layer to the back. This is just a piece of glass with the ink done to it. So just to show you what can be done. So everything's going to start ramping up. All the playfield art that you see here displayed is what's pretty well ready to go right now. So there is Captain Fantastic, which will probably come out either before the end of the year or early next year. So that art is there. Someone was working on the Indiana Jones file, the older version. I haven't heard anything back, but like we want to jump ahead to more modern stuff and see what the color span can do. For all the larger light lens inserts with the colored artwork and text, we want to prove that that's possible. So my presentation's about 22, 23 minutes long. It consists of a few PowerPoint slides, but it's mainly video. So what I've done is, like, at times I do video little clips of what's going on with the sorcerers and the other stuff. And I think it's a better media for me to present instead of talk here for a whole hour trying to explain the process. So I'll get right to the PowerPoint. At the end, I'll take any questions that anybody has, and we'll see how it goes. So just before I move forward, this is a color span inkjet printer, which does a 4x8 sheet of material up to 2 3/8 inches thick. They were recently bought out by Hewlett-Packard. So now they're calling this printer the SkyTech whatever. So SkyTech, I think, is a popular name for the photography industry. All right. So we're going to start off with what I like to call the direct ink restorations. So this started up about a year and a half ago. Probably about 2 years back or 2.5 years back, I posted that I contacted the Gottlieb guys, Steve Young and Robert Fezian, about the possibility of making conversion custom play fields. This didn't go over too well on a number of reasons. The biggest one being that I'm no good at art or CAD work. So that one kind of floundered there for a little bit. So then I started getting interested in doing playfield restorations using an inkjet printer compared to the traditional way of using different layers of silk screens. So I looked around and I was happy to find a printer in my city really close by who's interested in the pinball stuff. He never owned any pinball machines until I got him one for helping me out. So like now he's really on board the pinball stuff because he remembers playing pinball in his earlier youth. So the direct ink restoration so far is Sorcerer, two different versions of Space Shuttle, either the six light lenses or the crescent shaped light lenses, 8-ball deluxe, high speed, Stargazer's ready to go, and see which there's a scan there that's being cleaned up. So that should be coming online. So 2008, it was a really bad year for me. Started off trying to contract out work. This was a total disaster and costly venture, which cost 3 months of delays and money for nothing. What happened is I went to a sign shop that I thought could do the work. They had a decent paint booth and a CNC machine, but what happened is the CNC machine wasn't aerated off in the shop, so all the CNC dust and the filth is everywhere. So even though the doors can be closed to the paint booth, they're just wrecking everything with dust particles. Like, I can do a much better result in my own basement than what they could do in a commercial shop. So that cost me 3 months of time and some money to walk away. Back in the spring, my mother was rushed to hospital. Didn't know what was wrong with her. Turns out she has rare liver cancer. So I spent 3 months there with my mom, getting her through rehabilitation, and now she's back home. June 9th of this year, my coworker suddenly dies of a heart attack. So my employer decides not to replace him. So I started going from 6-day-a-week, 48-hour job to double shift to myself with lots of overtime. So my other hobby in the spring and summer is trying to get on the golf course. So that took a beating on that too. So here's a picture of the color span. So the machine can take a 4x8 sheet of material, which is usually coroplast, which is this corrugated plastic material you see a lot of the test prints on. It can also do 4x8 sheets of plywood. So the theory behind is you could have a huge display of 4x8 sheet pieces of plywood that are inked, joined together to make a huge portrait or picture of something. So that's the color span. Usually it's not taken play fields. It does not like play fields. It thinks play fields are just junk. So there's a number of things the printer has to do to fake it out and get the play fields inked. So right there, usually there's rollers, like the ink head passes back and forth. So when they put in the half-inch plywood, the play fields I get, it's mounted to half-inch MDF to try and take the warpage out. So what he has to do is adjust the height of the level so it the ink head doesn't smash into the printer. So every single play field that I've gotten so far is trash. What you can see restored is amazing. So like people come to me and they see what's there, it's like nothing's coming to me that's really player quality. All the play fields have damaged, they get epoxy repaired, everything sanded right down to the bare wood and restarted. So here's another look at the color span. So what it has like a conveyor belt, so it slowly draws the material. There's actually a vacuum inside the machine underneath the belt that draws the material down. So it's not really necessary for the pinball play fields, but what it does is stabilizes them so they don't jiggle, so the ink is just bang on. The printer's done well over 200 test prints or to play field runs, and the ink has been immaculate every single time. So play field art tests seen here at Expo. Unfortunately, there's no new play fields made in time for Expo 08 due to all the problems I had. Tests done on coroplast shown here to check how the art looks. So these tests will go to charity auction tonight. So all the coroplast ones are more likely go to the auction. I think they might split the package into two. So if somebody's looking for either high speed or eight ball, they'll be getting the sorcerers and the other ones in the same package. So the next is a video showing the coroplast tests. So this is the really easy stuff for the printer to do compared to the brutal time usage to do each play field. Each play field gets sheets of paper cut to the exact size. It's taped down and printed one at a time to adjust the alignment. So after he masks the play field, which what I call Christmas paper type craft paper, it's super thin. He just uses Scotch tape just to tape it down on four different areas. He'll put it through the color span. It'll lay the ink down. He has the choice of either going light on the ink or production ink. A lot of people don't realize like ink is reasonably inexpensive. It's the cost of labor and the cost of the equipment is where the costs are. So ink is like, who cares? There's a box of ink, it'll last a number of different projects. So they take a knife, cuts the paper to check over the light lenses to try and get a close fit. No easy task. So usually what he's trying to do is get the alignment as best as possible on the lower portion of the play field where all the bonus lights are, and he'll cut it across the arrows to see how close the edge of the arrow, the black, is around the light lenses. So there's many prints before a final go where the play field is inserted and paper removed to fake out the printer. Like I say, this color span is definitely not designed for doing playfield restorations. It was never designed for that. The guys in the printing industry, you know, pinball is like nothing to them. They don't understand it, and they really don't care because it's not their bread and butter. So when everything's all lined up and the printer thinks it's ready to go, he reaches in, gently pulls off the masking paper, and then he presses print with production quality ink. And then what comes out is dry to touch right out of the machine. So here's a
quick
video.
Hi, this is John Greywich in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and I'm going to quickly try and show you some better test prints and the Sorcerer playfield for my photo pocket. YouTube sucks pretty bad, so I'm going to try and do it this way to show people better results. This is the nice 8-Ball Deluxe, which has been test printed and will shortly go towards playfield restorations using direct ink. You can see the nice fine details. All these lines on the chloroplast will be removed when we change to the playfield restorations. The next one is high speed, and the artwork looks really, really nice on this playfield too. The colors are nice and vibrant, and it looks really, really good. So this is just going to be a quick little run through, see if people can see the nice results, and try and reduce everything so this video will be reasonably short and quick. Here's the next Edwards Space Shuttle with yellow lettering. So this one has yellow like this. We're going to take this off for Edwards playfield because he wants white back on. Up top you can see USA right there. So the quality is really nice. Everything looks really good. Here's the next one for the banana or the crescent light lenses. So you can see Space Shuttle there. Everything's nice and crisp. Moving on to the Sorcerers, we've got the maroon for the cape. So that's been corrected. There's two different versions here, one with something like maroon in the tail supposedly, and we can't tell the difference. So here's another one with maroon. The artwork looks outstanding. You can see the finished results here on a dark Sorcerer, which is going to get sanded down. Korn doesn't like this dark look. It's got 6 coats of urethane and 2 finished coats of DuPont for a very nice surface. So I'm going to line this up and see if this will look a lot better on PhotoBucket.
So I do apologize for my videos. Unless I really butcher it, I don't do a retake. So everything's done as quickly as possible. I take it up to my computer, and then as long as the size is good enough for PhotoBucket, then I'll use it. If not, I gotta go down and try and speed up my timing. So this dark Sorcerer is actually down in Texas now. The pictures haven't been posted, but it's really, truly outstanding. There's a finished Sorcerer in the hall. If you go to the back of the hall, you'll see a finished Sorcerer with the playfield from last year installed. It's been to 4 shows, and you can see the results there firsthand. There's another Sorcerer, an older one, that the artwork is still good, and you can see the differences and where all the ball marks are and everything else. So next is a Space Shuttle video. So I'm able to do both styles of the light lenses, which are available for restoration with direct ink. So I think Classic Playfields is getting ready for the ones with the crescent light lenses. They're searching out the probably have to get a brand new mold made of Foremost, so they'll be doing those sometime. So testing will be done with white for USA and Space Shuttle. Masking by hand again if people want it, and good results are good. This is the way Edward wants it. He wants it back white. The color span does not do white. So in this process, I have to mask and put the white layer in through every single play field. So for me to mask the USA and Space Shuttle is a lot of work. So if I can get a different color, which is why you see yellow here, that's what we'll go with. So if people are real purists, then I'll have to do it by hand for the USA and the space shuttle in white. So I had a CNC done a sheet of ruby red plastics. So in the video, you'll see one of the space shuttles with the crescent light lenses, and it's actually these ruby red light lenses sandwiched together with glue. I had a router on the back, and it looks pretty good. There's just some tiny air bubbles in the glue, which you'll see if you're looking really close up. But from a distance, you can't tell the difference.
Hello, this is John Greatwich in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. It's Saturday, just before Hurricane Kyle is to arrive tomorrow, and I'm here to introduce you to Direct Ink. I'm getting a light little shower here, so I'm going to try and be reasonably quick. Here are space shuttles that come in, worn out. And as we slowly move along here, you can see how I start to sand down the play field. So up top, I start sanding down this worn out one. These ones usually come in with wear on the maze or the bonus light lenses near the bottom, and a lot of them, these ones here, have the space shuttle still in the middle, but most of the ones I've owned, there's nothing left to the middle of the space shuttle. They're usually all gone. So the process is the play fields come in stripped down, nothing on top, nothing on the bottom, and then I go through a sanding process with 220 grit discs and 320 grit discs to bring them down to a finished sanded condition that you see here. So this play field's all sanded down, ready to go for masking. So it gets clear coated a few times, and then I'll put down a white mask, which you see here. So the white mask is done, and then I take it off, and then it gets varathaned another few coats, and then it's off for printing. This space shuttle here has been here for almost a year. It was the first service off of eBay, and these crescent light lenses, or moons, or whatever you want to call them, I had them custom made on a CNC machine. It did a reasonably good job, but I had to glue two of them together and router from the back. So this one's going to shortly go through the inking process. Edwards space shuttle is still waiting at the printer, and hopefully that one rolls out before Christmas. See you at Expo.
So what you're seeing is, like, every single playfield gets sanded down, so there's absolutely nothing left to it. It gets two coats of varathane, waterborne. Then I lay down the masking by hand. So each little circle, each little arrow, all the wood areas are masked off by hand. Then I give it a coat of acrylic white, Sherwin-Williams Automotive acrylic white. That goes down. It's just a kind of like a thin spray. But what you need is that nice white background to make the colors pop in the process. If you don't use white, then you'll see the wood and it'll just look like junk. So it's a really long, tedious process to get them from the start to the finish. So art done by others, big thank you. The next video shows what's next in line for restorations with Direct Ink. Nothing would have been done without the long hours people have been doing art. I am completely computer illiterate except for running stuff and typing. So all the fine work doing restorations, restoring the art files and stuff, that's done by other people. The same thing, I can't do CAD, I've got CAD files. I've got CorelDRAW, I can't use it. So I'm just happy to go through the process, do the grunt work, get all the experts together to see this through from start to finish, and hopefully fill a small void of the pinball market. So custom art will probably be done in 2009. There's a guy in Sweden working on custom artwork for his taxi. He wants five playfields done. There's other people who have contacted me in the past about looking to do custom artwork for their existing playfield. So anything can be done with the color span. One or more is fine. So it opens a huge area for people to customize their artwork for their playfields if they're trash and they can find the art from somebody. So I have a free offer still to any ARC coming in for direct ink tests. No strings attached to restore one play field or ink a new play field. So there's a huge ARC team for classic play field reproductions. I've had an offer out there. Some people are going to slowly take me up just so they can see what the results are with direct ink. There's no strings attached. If by chance new play fields roll out, people will want new play fields, and that's no big deal for me. There's thousands of different play fields out there that need work. So if a title comes up, I'll move along to the next title. In the past, I've been trashed a lot about saying, well, these brand new play fields are definitely going to be done. Why are you spending time redoing it? If people want to do the art and they're not the same artist, I won't refuse it. I'll run with it. It's only fair and right that if people want restorations done, I'll offer that service or make it available around the world. This process here that I'm doing is, I call freeware. Like, I'm just showing that it can be done. If the art's available and you can find an inkjet printer that's available to do the work, then it only makes sense around the world that people would be able to restore their play fields in their area or close by. So that's my goal.
Hello. This is John again, and it's Saturday. I'm outside taking some more pictures, getting some more exercise, lifting these play fields in and out of the basement. And I'd just like to thank all the guys that make this possible by providing the art for this restoration process. So 8 Ball Deluxe will be coming online very, very shortly. So you can take a worn out play field and restore it to a nice beauty. So over here, Scott gave me a torture play field with many holes for me to repair. So thanks, Scott. I appreciate the follow and the challenge. So after many epoxy repairs, hopefully this one's going to turn out to be a real beauty. Over here is a Stargazer play field that came in with some wear, and that's going to be restored shortly back to a very nice condition. For some reason, these Stargazers have loose light lenses. So Mike, who did the art on Stargazer here, for the most part, all of his light lenses have to be re-glued to make them stable again. So I'll do that. Thanks, Mike, for the art for Stargazer, and he's working on Sea Witch. Here is another high speed that I got. The art is here, and I'd like to thank the guy for doing the art. This one will be done shortly as soon as I get a masking file. So the open invitation to anyone with art is still there. I know there's a bunch of people from Classic Playfields that are doing art, and going with them, that's fine. But if they want to take me up on my free offer to restore one playfield with their art, I will do that, no strings attached. So you know where to find me. If you want to test the direct ink process for comparison, just let me know. So this is winding down, and I'll get the play fields back in, and I'll be taking questions at Expo.
So Scott was good enough to do the art file for 8 Ball Deluxe, and I sniffed thereafter explaining the play field. It's just torture, all the holes. He drilled his existing play field when he got a brand new replacement. So he used it as a template. So in that 8 Ball Deluxe, there's probably over 100 additional holes in it that I had to seal with epoxy. So it's getting very, very close to being inked, and then I'll sand off his other play field and get it done. So back to the Dark Sorcerers. These were the start of the play field restorations. They're still ongoing. Coming up is a video showing 3 of the 4 playfields. So Corn's playfield went to Texas and survived. I was adamant to try and keep this playfield. Nothing I hate worse than having quality results, even if it's missing ink or something goes slightly wrong. I'd rather offer it free than have it get destroyed and redone again. So 2 of the 4 Dark Sorcerers survived. One went to, I think, a guy in New York, Vinny Pinn, who's trying to sell it in the Working Sorcerer, and the other one's going to be put into a game down in Texas. So Vinny's Playfield installed. Don't know if it's sold. I think he was looking for between $1,300 and $1,500 for it. Turns out there was a file transfer problem from the printer's computer to the color span. So I guess this happens occasionally doing file transfers. So the main computer that the printer uses, he sends the file to the color span computer, and somehow the file got corrupted or something didn't transfer right. So the play fields ended up being defaulted. So the green became a dark teal green. The brown became, I think, kind of a dark brown or a light, or not a brown, it became a light black. So when you see the results, they still look pretty outstanding, but it just wasn't quite right. So the Varathane waterborne is used throughout the process by myself at more than $10 a can. So I get it at your local big box hardware stores, whichever one's selling it, the cheapest, it's all the same, so I get it. So I personally like using spray cans for my closet spray booth. It's no word of a lie, it's just a closet spray booth in the basement. I put on a respirator, I get in there, get the job done, and then get the hell out of the basement. So the Varathane's not too bad, but the acrylic white's brutal. I get the mother and wife hassling me over the smell.
Hello, my name is John Greatwich. I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. And what you're seeing here is my playfield restorations for Sorcerer playfields using direct ink. On the far right is a playfield that's going through the restoration process and had sunken light lenses, which I'm going to restore. What you see here is the three out of the four latest Sorcerers that came back super dark and were missing a few colors, and some of the colors were super dark also. So the people that received them weren't happy, and they decided that they wanted the Marie ink, which is fine by me, and they sent them back. We are now going to go through the process of trying to re-ink it properly and get all the vibrant colors back. What happened is the original artist that did the playfields put the hand value back in that was missing right there on the left, and somehow that screwed up the art file totally and gave us dark versions. So what we're going to do is try and correct the colors, because people are complaining about the purple for the cape and a few other things, and we'll see if we get the process correct for Pinbo Expo 08. You can get more information on my website. It's called greatpinball.com.
So I don't know if people clued in where the problems were. If you look at the, I don't know if he's called the Sorcerer on the bottom, but there's a brown and another kind of like light maroon or something just underneath this orange in front of his head. So that's the portion where the art file got lost. And down on the outlanes, just up top, this area here is a light green, and it turned out a real dark green. I personally liked it because like the little snake or whatever turned out nice and dark. Down on the outlanes here, where the brown was, it defaulted to a light black. So it was slightly different, but like it was totally acceptable to most people who saw it, wouldn't know the difference and would be more than happy to have it installed compared to all the trash play fields that come in. So the results are truly amazing. All the light lenses, like if you have a chance to take a look at the one in the hall, you'll see what I mean about the ink work. It's just outstanding. All the pixels up here on his beard, yeah, seeing it in person, either on the Corplast here or in person, you'll see the fine results.
Hello, this is John Greatwich in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and I do playfield restorations using direct ink to take worn-out playfields and restore the art back to looking new with fresh new clear coats. Over here on the left are the two Dark Sorcerer playfields that are the artist supplied. He did all the artwork back in the early 2001, and you can see blue for the cape, which seems to be common for some playfields, but seems like a lot of Americans like the maroon color for the cape. So we're going to match up the Pantone color and get that back in there. These two playfields will probably get sanded down. The alignment just isn't quite there, and they did come out dark versions. The printer did a file correction for the left-hand value, and somehow it corrupted the file when it got switched from Corel onto another system of file that they use for the color span. Moving over here is Corn's Playfield, which just went through DuPont testing yesterday. I took it in late in the afternoon, picked it up early this afternoon, and it looks immaculate. It has really good alignment, and the gloss from the DuPont, they gave it two coats, looks really good. What happens is I give it six coats of Varathane at the end of the inking process to protect the sensitive UV ink from the finished clear coats, which I had issues over the last year. Wrecked a lot of play fields going through finished clear coats. So it looks like the final hurdle has been done. Looks like we're getting on track to starting to get play fields coming out on a more consistent basis. So see me at Expo. I'll be there presenting again. And if you want to see more pictures on what's going on and information, it's greatpinball.com.
So I've been thinking a lot about this last year, going through the many different sorcery runs. And like, I'm a really hard learner. Like, a lot of stuff will go on and I'll say, well, why were the results poor? Like, I can't understand this. The printer does fine work. I've got professional body shop that should be able to put two coats of DuPont, or another sign shop that should be able to use two parts of polyurethane, and I should get a finished perfect result like the first two I had here at Expo last year. So I kept testing these things, even after they kept failing, just thinking there was like something just slightly off or this or that. What happens that I learned is that UV ink and also the inks used in silkscreen process of doing play fields is very susceptible to finished clear coats. So like DuPont and two-part polyurethane, a lot of it can be very aggressive, especially to the black, I think it's called Magneta ink. So what will happen is I'll get a failure in a couple of tiny areas. It's almost like a curdling effect, but any curdling effect is like a failure. So like, it's difference between having a few dust particles on a finished clear coat, which more than likely will be sanded down with ball travel. That's acceptable, but having curdling to the play field totally isn't acceptable. So I like using the analogy lately that it seemed like I kept testing this stuff, and it's like a little kid sticking their hand on the hot plate. It's like, how many times do you keep sticking your hand on the hot plate before you realize you shouldn't be sticking your hand on the hot plate? So I finally realized the process, and there should be a whole load of play fields ramped out reasonably quick if I got the time, because the process is figured out. So anyone doing it, like I say, even water-based Varathane is very susceptible. If you use Sharpies for touch-up, it's hit or miss. So like, there's a bunch of stuff. So go to the internet and try to learn stuff. I slowly learned after about 6 or 7 months to use Napa, or what's called white cooking oil, to clean the play fields down after they're sanded the first time. And you'd be surprised the amount of yellow stuff that comes out. It's either the glue in the process of putting plywood together, or just wood crap. What it's made of, the fibrous stuff, comes out like an orange thing. So everything's sanitized to make it nice and clean. At the start, over a year ago, the body shop kept blaming us for using rubbing alcohol to clean the surface before it got ink. So what the printer does is, when it's going through the testing, they quickly wipe it down with rubbing alcohol to remove any handprints or oils off the surface before it gets hit with ink. So it's kind of a battle between the body shop and us, saying, you guys were screwing it up, it wasn't our process. But in fact, at the end, what it was the ink is so susceptible to DuPont or two-part polyurethane that you really need to lock it in. I use 6 finished coats of Varathane. Probably one coat would be acceptable to lock it in. But what I want to do during the process is level off the play field. So most people that have gotten their play fields back never complain about any unevenness about the surface of the play field. It's because it gets so many layers of clear coat to it. So just before I move on, hopefully some better pictures will be posted from Texas. This one here looks as good as the one in the hall, if not better, because it's got 6 coats of Varathane before the 2 finished coats of DuPont. So here's a final video showing the art, wrap-up video showing the examples here at Expo. So a small look at the congested basement at my mom's house. I am a true pinball fanatic. I have an eBay source. Luckily for me, the owner fell down in his basement steps, so like he hasn't posted anything in 7 months, so it saved my pocketbook and the basement from being overloaded. In the past, I've hammered a lot of pinballs that were just junk because I just don't have the storage space. Everyone here probably knows the cost of storage is unreal. So if the games aren't going to survive, it's better just to salvage a few parts off of them. I just wish I had kept all the playfields I sent to the landfill over the years because there is a number of them. So the basement's full of project pins, storage from my wife and I moving back into her house to keep an eye on her. Like I say, with her liver cancer, we want to keep a close eye on mom. Spray booth and all the playfields here for restoration. A real challenge doing everything myself. Sanding is done outside all year long if it's dry. So even in the middle dead of winter, I'll be out there trying not to freeze, sanding off playfields. So it's interesting.
It's Friday, August 8th, 2008 in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and this is John Greatwich, who's doing playfield restorations using Direct Ink. In the background here, you can see the two latest playfields that the art is being tested. High Speed on the left and 8 Ball Deluxe on the right. And move forward to give you a better look at some of the fine detail that's been done. So this is done on, I believe, what's called Coroplast. So there is, it's a kind of like a plastic corrugated material, almost like cardboard, so you will get lines. So this is just test prints, just to have a look at what the results are with the ink. Everything looks really, really nice. When it's done on the playfields that are worn out will get restored with lots of clear coat, and everything should look really, really good. Over here is the latest sorcerers with the maroon cape. So the printer and I can't decide what the difference is with a trail or something with maroon. There's supposed to be two different ones here with the maroon, and we can't tell the difference between both of them. So we'll get back to David, who's done the art, and try to get his opinion on which one is what. To us, they both look identically the same. Moving over here is Edward's finished versions with the yellow ink that we're going to use for USA and Space Shuttle. So he's going to get the yellow removed. The printer's going to take the yellow out, and we're going to mask it for Edward's playfield. The other ones will still get what you're seeing here, which is yellow lettering for USA. So I'm just going to move it up here. I don't know if the lighting is good to show you. Moving over to his other one, you'll see USA up top and the lettering, which is for the ones with the six light lenses. So it'll give you some idea there what it's going to look like. And the ink is outstanding on these. So I'm just going to scroll around the workshop in the basement. Over here is some play fields that are getting ready to be done. So there's another sorcerer here. And down here is the finished dark sorcerer that Korn didn't like, and it is going to get definitely sanded down since no one's interested, and get redone. I'm going to take this out into more light so you get a better look at how fine it turned out. So here's the play field here. So I'm just going to scroll down. This is the earlier version which the artist is going to stay with. It's got the blue for the cape. This one here has two coats of finished DuPont over six coats of urethane. You can see a very nice surface. But it is a dark version. There is missing ink. You can see it in this face down there. And it's missing maroon down the bottom. And it turned out kind of a teal, dark teal color for the green. But overall, people will see me presenting at Expo, and they can decide for themselves the fine results. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you soon.
So that's no easy chore. Through this video here, what you didn't see is me trying to pass in front of the jukebox, which gave me like about 18 inches of clearance. So I've got everything down the basement. Back glasses are on the floor. Play fields are everywhere. I got storage from my wife and I moving back into my mom's house. Plus, I think it's either 12 or 15 pinball projects just jammed in the basement with stuff on top. So, Sorcerer done last week. How am I doing time-wise there, Rob? Good? Right. Here's the Sorcerer done last week. So Edward's Space Shuttle was masked about 10 times and the printer still wasn't happy, so it wasn't final inked. It's still sitting there. So the Sorcerer done last week. Here's a short video showing the results without any clear coat supplied. After one coat, you don't see any lines. So this is a color inkjet printer. So what it is tiny dots of ink. If an inkhead is failing, the color span head will tell it to stop that inkjet from printing that dot, and another one will pick up the spots. So there's never any missing dots. It automatically knows if an inkhead is becoming clogged, and another series of them will take over. When the material comes out, you will see tiny banding lines. As soon as any type of clear is done to the surface, you can't tell anything. So people were worried about banding and colors and everything else. Once one coat of clear coat is done, you can't see anything. So this video will give you a little idea of maybe seeing partial banding or something with the blacks or whatever. But like once it's cleared, nothing's there. So playfields will get 6 coats of urethane for a finish, plus the 2 finish coats of DuPont for that deep finish look. People want a nice deep gloss look to their playfields. I know there's a lot of purists here, but like this is a restoration service, so there's going to be differences. The games are going to play much faster with all the clear compared to the original ones, or maybe even replace some playfields that aren't getting as deep a clear. So as always, the art done is very nice with the color span 9840 UV printer.
Hello, it's Thursday, September 25th. I'm going to take a new video of the Sorcerer playfield for David, just to show that the quality of the ink work, even though the alignment is off in certain areas, the result is still pretty spectacular. So just looking at this playfield looks pretty good. Over here on the trail here, there's minor areas. I can see it here, but like it's probably hard on the video where it's slightly off. Over here in this area, you definitely can tell the difference where I lost the white mask and you can see the wood grain underneath. So there's kind of splotchy marks in the colors that should be bright and all the same colors. So just to show the results. So overall the alignment was just slightly off. It's still a really good result compared to the worn out play field, but it's still not quite right. So this one will definitely get sanded down and we'll try it again.
So this is where I cheated and I got lazy and I got caught. So I can't cheat the process. If the white mask isn't perfect, it gets sanded down and redone. So what happened on this one is when I sanded it down from the dark version to get re-inked, I sanded through some of the white. I said, well, it's off to the side. Maybe people won't notice it. As soon as you look at it, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. You really need the white to pop the colors. So if people can look very closely, you'll see it looks blotchy on the orange here and just up top. And what that is the loss of the white layer. So the white layer is definitely has to be there to pop out the colors and to hide the wood. So this process here, if you look at an older play field, you'll see all the ball marks and swirls. When play fields are restored this way, it's the white layer really masks off the wood grain. So like it's a totally different look. It's more like a modern look play field that's being made probably the last 20 years. You just don't see the wood grain at all. So thanks again to Expo and you guys attending. It was great being able to present again after a tough year. Thanks, Mike and Rob. Thanks to everyone who believes in technology to help restore the countless number of worn playfields. This process is freely available for anyone to use. Hopefully more new developments in printing. There's lots of developments with the inkjet printers that can do more than like using four base colors. There's ones coming out that can actually do white plus another additional couple of colors. So the technology is out there, people are looking at it, but to find somebody who's willing to commit that investment or find a print shop that's willing to work with you, that's the really, really hard place that's holding us back. So hopefully more new playfields from others to fill the huge playfield void. I still think there needs to be like 10 or 20 different guys out there producing brand new playfields if we're ever going to see any type of numbers out there. Like either Wayne or Illinois Pinball got to start finding other people to get involved and start ramping up playfield production. Hear that or go back to the ones that are doing playfields for Stern and start saying, hey, we want runs of 200 done of titles or something or other to get things going. So thanks to my small team doing this. I have a small group of guys that have stepped forward to provide the art. So all the great guys who have provided the art so far, much more art is out there, and we can hope it becomes available in 2009. I think when the results come out over this short period, either towards Christmas or early in the new year, you'll see a lot more people stepping forward with art for Direct Ink or to try and get others to try and get this process steamrolled ahead. Lots of people are sitting on huge amounts of art files and they're just really afraid. It's a trust issue. So they know they can trust me. I'm not going to take their art and it's not going to become overlays or whatever somewhere else. They can try one copy with me and know that their art is secure. It'll go back to them. So I think that's going to open up a lot of stuff. In the past, I've talked about Attack from Mars, which I think I can quickly do. So I just want to get this process through, the same with Indiana Jones. Adam's Family is another title. If the art becomes available, it will be tested and you guys will see the results and take it from there. So to my printer staff in the color span, pushing the envelope on technology. So that color span is definitely not designed for doing play fields, so it ain't an easy task. That on top of the hundreds of test prints done. So don't be fooled by the amount of playfields that are out there or just these amount of test prints that are here. That color span over time, over the last year and a half, has done hundreds of prints, whether it's test prints to paper or finished results or these Coroplast samples. Over the hundreds of tests, the color span has never failed. The only thing that could fail is the power could go off or there could be an interruption in the printing process, then it has to restart. But every single time, the color span, the ink work has been perfect, 100%. So there's no problems there. The body shop that will do the finished two coats, the DuPont, for the finished look people want. The body shop is big on Mazda cars and other stuff. They do really good work. They do like custom artwork on motorcycle helmets and other stuff, so they know their stuff. It's a clean environment. Professionals do the final sanding and the finished two coats of DuPont, which I'll never be able to do. Myself, dedicated to this pinball and Sandy. It's only money and time. It can be done. I've proved it. I have a bunch of critics that a few of them like trashing me endlessly over this process and trying to bring me down. I'm going to keep moving forward, opening up the market, and the results are out there showing that anything can be done if the art is available. So that's the big hurdle, is the art become available, and then any trash play fields hopefully can be redone. I've got a sorcerer in that's got 2.5 inches of warp to the top corner that I'm going to try pushing through. So whether that's able to be done, we'll soon find out. But for the most part, most of the play fields coming in, there's probably up to an inch of bow in most of the play fields. So the half inch MDF really screws it back down. So that's the end of my presentation, and I guess I'll take a few minutes of quick questions. Dave.
So you're here in Chicago, the world headquarters of all pinball development. Is there anybody that you would like to find who did the original work preparing these for the original silk screening, or anybody you would talk to at the silk screening places to ask them how it was done the first time? If you could go back and find these people, if you have questions, are you ready to ask them?
The honest answer is no. The art, for the most part, like the screens and the original art, for the most part, has been either destroyed or lost. Some of the art that's out there isn't the correct art, or it could be different art files for, let's say, Fathom Playfield or Centaur. I think Centaur was a classic one. There was a bunch of different art files. So a lot of the stuff that's out there, I don't think you could reuse. So a lot of the work that's done here is like people either using scans or pictures or other playfields and painfully restoring the art back to an art file. So whether it's Adobe Illustrator, Corel, Photoshop, or any other type of art file, we should be able to run with it. But I'm not actively searching out the pinball artists or the pinball companies for art. This is a restoration service. Over a year ago, it was a question about rights, and so far nobody's approached me. I've never got a cease and desist from any of the parties. A bunch of them wanted to bust my balls, we all know about that, but like their rights owners, they want some money for whatever they feel is right to them. But this is a restoration process of a playfield you bought. It's your own personal property, so whether it gets sanded down and corrected with a new art file back to a finished surface, I think you have the right to do that. So it's not a brand new product, it's an existing playfield that's coming in for repair and restoration. Yes?
Shooter weight, are they all gonna have that weight mask?
If you want, if it's a natural playfield, like what's shown here, you guys all see the light lenses come in white. On the color span printer, white is nothing. So when you see the test prints here, it's a white backing material, but when it goes through the color span, any area that's white becomes nothing. It becomes either bare wood or like the pop bumpers on Sorcerer is like that won't be masked, so the white that I lay down will actually stay white. The art file will say there's nothing there, so white is the only thing that's there. So any bare wood areas is masked, like target banks, switch lanes, the ball shooter lane. But for the newer play fields, if white or a different color or artwork is used in the shooter lane, then that's what we would do. Okay, one quick question. We're starting to test out back glasses. So earlier on, we got the bootleg copy of Bonsai Run. So the original bootleg copy that was up there that got sent to CPR, they were gracious enough to allow me to do a test. They gave me an art file in the back glass with the Bonsai Run art on it. Took a plastic scraper and a wet towel, let it soak, scraped off all the artwork. There was like a minor scratch on the back glass. I took it to the printer and we opened up the Bonsai Run file and it looked just like the bootleg copies. So to show the results of the color span doing a bootleg copy, we didn't think was right. So what we ended up doing was the Harley-Davidson motorcycle one that was showing up earlier. And it shows like chrome or the silver can be done on the color span. So earlier on, I posted the back glass with no whiting on the back. It's just right on glass. When I return back home, the Seawitch back glass art is just about done. And so we're going to do a test on glass to that one, and the printer's going to mask white by hand himself, and we'll see what it looks like. Question at the back. On the last bunch that went through, I didn't do any sanding at all. So, yeah. And I took it to the body shop, and they said, well, maybe you should do three coats and sand, then another three coats and let them finish sand with their random orbital, you know, $400 palm sander they got at the body shop. So they will do the finish sanding before they give it two coats of DuPont. So usually the results over time coming from the body shop, it's just a small body shop, so there might be tiny little dust particles. It is acceptable to have tiny little dust particles. More than likely, it'll either be hidden in an area or the ball will travel over it and flatten out that dust particle. So it's just like a tiny little dust particle. You can't see the dust, but it's there on the surface. So if that's the case, it's going out that way to the people that send it in. The only thing that rejects the direct ink process is, let's say the alignment is way, way out of whack. Like if it's like really, really bad, then I'll reject it and have to redo everything again. That was the question posed to me earlier on at breakfast, and I brought up the picture. I'll see if I can get it up here, showing the Harley-Davidson motorcycle. So it's got chrome for the part of the bike or whatever, same as the handrails and everything else. So you'll be able to see that silver's there. Let's see if I get it up here. Right here. So this is the bonsai back glass that got all the paint scraped off. There's no backing to this back glass. So I'll show another slide, but you can see the silver here. So this is the silver handlebars and everything in the mirror over there. This is the results you'd see with the color span without any type of even white backing to the glass. So if the printer puts white to the back of the ink, that's transparent, it should really pop out the colors. So I'll just quickly show you another slide here to give you an idea. So here's another better picture. So this shows all the color palette that was used by the color span. You can definitely see silver is one of them. So it looks very nice to me. I don't know, compared to a mirrored back glass, whether it's close enough. I think a lot of it for like the Sea Witches, if some reason I can roll them out at $150 a crack, I think people will say, yeah, that's fine. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the back glasses when I get back. I don't know. That's just a generic package for art for like printers. So he had like a bunch of different files and we just printed it. And we can actually, he can flip the picture, you know, just like anything else, we could print it different ways. Any other questions? It would be a lot easier for people to sand play fields, but like I've had a few come in and it's really not saved me any time. I'd much rather have the play field come in trashed and dirty or whatever, and I do the work myself. That way I get to see if there's problem areas. I've had play fields in with screws through the play field or through the back. Through this process using the water-based varathane, sometimes there will be damage to the veneer, so it will be epoxy repaired. If it's anywhere on the play field where there's art, nobody can tell there was a repair there. I could gouge out a big 1-inch square, epoxy it, you would never know the difference. But on the play fields, if there's damage, let's say in a wood grain area, around a saucer hole, you will definitely see clear epoxy instead of wood. That's what I'm going to do for a free repair, and that's what people are going to live with. Also, damaged areas are like under the apron. I'm not going to worry about the cosmetic look of epoxy under an apron. Nobody's going to see it there, so it's not a big concern. If it's screw holes that looks like serious damage, I'll try and epoxy fill them in a bit so you have nice tight screws when you put it back together. Any other questions? Alrighty, I'm going to wrap it up. And my website is greatpinball.com. So if you want to go there, or if you're a Google user or another user, you could just type in Direct Ink, and usually you'll find the process there. So thanks again, Rob.